Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about building relationships and community in your youth ministry.
We know that there are youth leaders out there who are just getting started and others who are looking for some basic best practices to return to. And that's why we're doing a second round of our starter pack with conversations to get you started in youth ministry.
We know from research and from scripture that relationships are key when it comes to building a healthy youth ministry. God designed us to be in community with one another around his word, but it isn't always easy to build relationships between teens and between teens and adults. Maybe they have different interests, come from different backgrounds, or just have different interests and experiences as well.
So we know that building relationships, building community in your youth ministry was never super easy. Mm-hmm. You're working with adolescents. You got a lot of hormones, people who are learning how to be adult people. But as we talked to a lot of youth workers, COVID really made building that community even more difficult. And we can all see the impact that time had on everyone, in our adults, our young people, in our congregations, and in our youth ministries. Young people were separated from each other during some really formative times. And so we can expect that that's going to have some ramifications, not just right now, but for years to come.
So to talk about ways to build healthy Christ-centered relationships, we have Jeremy Becker. Jeremy is a director of Christian education with over 24 years of experience in ministry. He currently serves St. Paul Lutheran Church in Weston, Florida. And before that, he served at Concordia Lutheran Church in Kirkwood, Missouri. He was recently awarded the Master DCE Award from the National Association of DCEs. He's married to Kristen and has two daughters. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thanks. Glad to be here with you.
Well, Jeremy, we got to hear about you briefly in that intro, but tell us something more about your vocations, your roles in youth ministry, or other things that bring you joy.
You bet. You know, as I think about youth ministry, ironically, one of the things that I really loved working in youth ministry is with parents. And maybe that's as I get older or get more experience with youth ministry, I get to connect with the parents and love to connect with the parents more and more. Just helping parents to be role models in faith for their kids, I think is super fun, especially when they grab a hold of that and they understand that concept that we're not going to just drop off our kids at church and outsource faith. We need to be a part of this. So every year, I think I find more and more joy in that component of youth ministry.
That's great. Well, one of the things we also love to hear when we talk about youth ministry, and as we talk about talk with our guests, we love to hear that maybe a time during a junior and senior year of high school. Can you share maybe about how Jesus used a key moment or moments or people to bring you closer to him or the church?
Yeah, in high school, I had a great youth director. He was actually a teacher at our school, and he got kind of thrusted into the role of youth director outside of his teaching vocation, as sometimes people do. And one of the things that I loved about my connection with Tim was that I knew that when I showed up to youth, it didn't matter if it was like Sunday school or some fellowship opportunity or a fundraiser to raise money for going to the youth gathering, I knew that he cared about me and what was going on in my life. And so because I knew he cared about me, I wanted to care about what he cared about too. So that was huge. And we got to go on a youth gathering in San Antonio, actually. I had just graduated the year before. So I kind of went along as maybe a college age helper for the other youth kids going to San Antonio. And there were just some really awesome moments that we experienced just helping the younger kids grow and experience the youth gathering that year.
That's great to hear. We love how supportive adults can really impact the lives of young people. So one of the things that we know, we're recently awarded that Master DCE Award. We love that. We know DCEs do a lot of different things as you do. But what do you love about working particularly with young people and their parents in their congregation and community?
Well, I think for me, I'm just coming off of a eighth grade confirmation retreat. And so that kind of stuff's really fresh in my brain. We had an awesome weekend. And, you know, going into a weekend like that, there's all sorts of prep and there's all sorts of work. There's making sure that while you're gone, everything's covered, right? Not just at church, but in with your home and family and everything else. And so, you know, on the front end of it, you're like, oh my gosh, this is a lot of work. And then on the back end of it, when it goes well, as it did this last weekend, you're kind of like, man, we should do like one of these a month. And they're like, no, wait, that'd be too much. But it really, and it's not just the retreat aspect that made this last weekend great. It's really kind of what I love about working with youth ministry. We have a smaller eighth grade confirmation class this year. And so I didn't want those kids going on the retreat to not have like the critical mass of a group around them. So I invited a lot more high schoolers to go along with us as leaders. Cool. And so I think we almost had a 2-to-1 ratio, high schoolers to confirmands. Cool. We had almost 14 high schoolers to our 7 confirmands. And I was a little nervous about that, but I took some time to connect with the high schoolers to really spell out their role as leader, right? So that they knew this event, even though there was more of them than the eighth graders, it wasn't for them. Mm-hmm. It was for the eighth graders to experience what they needed to experience this weekend, learn what they need to learn, prepare what they needed to prepare for the rite of confirmation coming up. And they owned that. It was so amazing. Some kids who hadn't done that before stepped up because they saw, like they were freshmen or sophomores, and saw some of the high schoolers jumping in, and here's how they led a small group. And now these sophomores and freshmen are seeing this firsthand, and then also connecting in a different way with the eighth graders than some of those other kids were. So it really was fun to help foster those relationships between the high schoolers and the eighth graders, as well as encourage the high schoolers to take on a leadership role, right?
Right.
To give them responsibilities to lead and to share about their faith and remember their own confirmation verse and talk about why that's important for them still years later, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. So it really was a fun weekend. And even though we can't do one of those every other weekend, you do come back from a weekend like that going, man, we should do a lot more of these.
Well, I'm sure one of the cool things about that is to see those relationships that get built from those young people, maybe a little older people with the young people, and to see that kind of continue. They're going to recognize each other at church on Sundays, other events that you have going on. So one thing that we just want to talk about, obviously, with this podcast is talk about these relationships that happen. Obviously, you saw some of that this weekend, but in your general youth ministry, how do you see or how do you know you have healthy relationships going on, peer-to-peer, peer-to-adults, those kind of things that happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's easy to sometimes just kind of scan the room, and if there's a smile on somebody's face, just assume everything's okay. Mm-hmm. But I think when I'm looking at what's going on around, I want to look a little bit deeper. What's the body language of the people as they're talking with each other? If I'm doing a group game, or if I'm putting people into small groups, it gives me the chance to let them facilitate discussion, and then I can go around and see and hear and listen to what's happening. So if I'm not talking constantly, it gives me a chance to listen and to listen to what's happening in those conversations. Are people being built up? Are people asking, are they caring about what's going on? So I think some of those ways to kind of see about health within the group is just to be listening to those conversations. I think another thing that I do too is, I try to have one-on-one conversations with the youth as well. So mm-hmm. we might gather, you know, corporately or in a group, and that group might be 6 big. It might be 20 big. It depends on, you know, what's happening, but, to have individual conversations with kids too, just how's it going? You can kind of tell if a kid's on the outs, if they're not connecting with somebody else. And so whether that's a conversation that I have with them, try to bring them in, or a conversation with maybe one of my more mature high schoolers who is willing to step outside of their own comfort zone and say, wait, can you go have a conversation with so-and-so? They didn't really seem to connect with anybody earlier tonight or last time they were here. And I think they really just need a connection with somebody. And so you kind of do that kind of connection and checking in with people just to see how it's going. And one of the other big things I think for me that I learned early on is, there are going to be youth who come to church. There might be a lot of youth that come to church that might not connect with me. Mm-hmm. They might not resonate with my personality style or my interests. And so the more other adults around young adults, parents even, however that looks, to be around so that the kids can connect with other faith role models besides myself, the better off we are. And so I also try to connect in with those adults too, because I might be doing a lot of leading and it's hard to sometimes see what's going on interpersonally with the other youth. But if I check in with those adults every time or every other time, or just how's it going, they're usually the ones that can spot things that I always, that I might miss if I'm up front leading, right? And so that can be really helpful too, just to kind of catch what's going on. And those adults will build relationships with the kids that they'll have that I don't have. And so those kids might confide in those adults too. And I'm not asking for them to break their confidence, but those adults can tell me without breaking confidence of if something's not going well, or if we need to adjust, or there's a clique forming here that we kind of need to work to break up, or we need to bring some kids along, another youth who isn't really connecting well. So I think those, to sum it up in short, just a lot of one-on-one check-ins really help. And I think having a number of other volunteers, whether they're older high schoolers or college age, young adults, parents, when they're there, they can kind of be those extra eyes and ears to kind of see how things are going with the kids.
Yeah, it's really helpful. And I think to be able to take kind of a read of the room and to be make some deliberate efforts to say like, okay, how do I know what's working, what's not working? Say I kind of do that and I go, oh man, we got to do some relational building. We got to do some community building. Yeah. We got to do some work here. What are some starting places you might suggest for people when they're getting into that spot where they're like, okay, we've got to do some work on that particular aspect of youth ministry?
Sure. I think planning some fun things to do. I think it's always important to have some theological conversations, but I think you also need to have a lot of fun too. And so you don't necessarily sacrifice one for the other, but you might need to front load some fun things, things that don't have any sort of theological merit. Wow. Can I even say that? Are okay from time to time to build those relationships, because really it will eventually lead into those theological discussions and growth in faith. But I think to plan things to do, some games, activities, maybe it's just even going somewhere together so you create shared experiences, because those shared experiences, then you start to get inside jokes, you get to have, oh, remember when, and those kind of moments that you have history that's being built off of. So I like to try and create some games or play some games that are not just, no, don't get me wrong, I love Ultimate Frisbee, but that's just a pretty physical game. So let's go and do some other things too, where we have to share a little bit about ourselves in this interaction. And maybe it's even a one-on-one and then you're moving into another group and, you know, those kind of things and activities. So I think those group building type of games, scenario situations, having fun, shared experiences, they really start to help build that group dynamic where there's an understanding of who's here. There's other people that might be like me or have an interest like me. And then that builds even more dialogue, conversation, and then opens it up for being able to go deep into either a theological component in your discussion, or to even dive into some of the things that are going on in life that we're just struggling with in terms of who we are and our faith and what God has done for us.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like a shared goal, right? Or even a shared enemy occasionally will bring a group together, right?
That's true.
Right? That that helps give us a space in which we can collaborate and start to form that relationship with one.
Ironically enough, one of the things that worked this weekend, going back to the retreat, is we were just passing a balloon around a circle, who could do it the fastest. And one group owned that so much that it was almost scary, the amount of camaraderie and teamwork that they had. It was like I was expecting them to be designing their own jerseys and going pro in balloon passing. They were so intense on this. It was quite amazing, which also then made the other team want to kind of combine their efforts again.
Yep. Now we all have someone that we want to beat. And that works as well, right?
Yep.
So I'm always impressed in things like escape rooms, right? Where you suddenly can get everyone having a conversation, or something that you unexpectedly have where they're competitive and then you have teams that are learning to communicate better in order to, you know, X, Y, or Z.
Yeah. Those are important. And I think too, even if, as you come on after that, is to do some debriefing on what happened.
Yeah.
Because there are some kids who are so insightful that even in the midst of what escape room or whatever task you've asked them to do, are watching what's going down, but didn't necessarily have a whole lot to contribute during the process. But on the back end of it, we'll have just a whole bunch of insight as to stuff that the other kids might look at them and like, wait, were you watching the same thing? Yeah. I totally missed that. And so to have that debriefing time too can be kind of cool. Just even, you know, what happened? What did you see? What worked? What didn't work? Who stepped up as a leader? That kind of thing. Yeah, it's interesting.
Much is said in our culture right now about how maybe community is found around very specific interests or ideas. And that's it, maybe either how technology allows to connect people from anywhere across the country, or maybe we're becoming more self-selective of how we connect with people who are more like us. But when we look at the church, really in many ways, the church is a place that's called to have a diversity of life from different ages to maybe different life experiences, maybe have opinions on a variety of different topics, you name it. How do you help youth and adults maybe find common ground as the body of Christ when maybe there are some differences in the group as well, to be able to build those relationships, celebrate those differences where they are, or be able to have good conversations around those differences?
One of those things kind of alluded to already, I think shared experiences are huge. Because if you are sharing an experience or maybe even serving together would be a great one. That's a great shared experience. Mm-hmm. It puts you out of your comfort zone and then creates an opportunity where even though you might not have any sort of similarities in terms of your likes, just, you know, style of music or food or what you wear, you've gone and done something for somebody else and you have that experience with that other person that you can fall back on as a conversation. But there's some activities and games that we do that kind of help celebrate who we are and our favorites. This is the most simplest game ever. I'll take and maybe a group of five people, and if we have multiple people, we'll do multiple groups. And so in your group, one person is it for 2 minutes, and for 2 minutes you grill them about everything, that all their favorite things. So tell me your favorite toothbrush or toothpaste, your favorite type of movie, your favorite actor, actress, favorite thing to eat, you know, all those, whatever it is. And then I'll take all those people who were it in their group, go to another part of the room, and then I ask five questions. And I always, you know, whatever it is, it's like, all right, name this person's favorite type of shoe. And then both the group and the individual have to write it down, and then they compare, and you get points if you have the right answers. But I always, my last question is always, who is their hero? And so the first round, they don't ask that question, but then, like the second, third round, they're like, wait, he's asking the same question. This last question is, who's your hero? And so it gives them a chance to kind of share a little bit more in depth about people that they idolize or look up to or strive to be like. And so some of those things are kind of cool, because when you start to name all those favorites, you start to find correlations between you and other people. Mm-hmm. And so while you might not come from the same place or have the same background or whatever it is, it's like, oh, we love the same music. We're nothing alike, but we listen. I just downloaded that same, you know, MP3, whatever. So it's just like all that kind of stuff is, it kind of helps you get at it. And that's really, I love that game, because there's really no prep. It doesn't take a whole lot of work. And yet you can play it for a long time with a group of people and just have so much fun. And you walk away doing that, going like comparing and seeing where you do have those similarities.
That's awesome.
And I think that breaks down some of those barriers that could happen, maybe about some more deeper topics, to be able to say, we got commonality here. That gives us something that we can talk about. And maybe even especially for an adult to a youth, to be able to have a connection there too, to be able to have a common ground there to be able to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that works. That works great with any age. You don't have to just have a group of five youth in a circle. You put an adult leader in there. I've had some of our senior adults even say, Jeremy, you told us we could come and hang out at this teen. I'm like, all right, come and have fun. You're going to sit here and you're going to connect with these, you know, sixth graders. And at first, the sixth graders are like, wait a second, this guy's older than a few people that were here. But they can connect too, and they see that, and it's, it might not be on the same music genre, but it's definitely other things that they find commonalities in.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you see COVID impacting, or the ramifications of COVID impacting, community building and youth ministry?
Yeah, we had to get real creative, right?
Yeah.
There were some activities that we did over Zoom that I'm thankful that I don't have to do that anymore, but we, you know, we did, and they worked at the time because we kept getting kids that were wanting to connect in, because they're, I found that kids fell into two camps, and maybe there's more, and I don't have any psychological data on this, but this is what I noticed. There were kids that were given permission to not interact, right? Because they couldn't. And so by the way we were living in COVID isolated, they were like, I didn't like connecting with people anyway. And so they didn't, right? And then there were some kids who were going crazy because they needed to feed off of people and they weren't getting that. And so I had a lot of those kids connect in to some youth events online in Zoom that don't always, that didn't always get to come in person. And so whether it was scavenger hunts around their homes where they had to go find stuff, that was always funny. You know, who can bring me a bottle of ketchup to the camera first, you know, and you get points for that. We had a blast. We just came up with crazy fun games to interact and share and talk. And that was kind of cool. But coming out of it, how do we, you know, continue to connect with kids? Because it still is, those kids who didn't really want to interact still feel like they have the permission to not have to interact if they don't want to. And so that's been really hard. And that's become, for me, it's a one-on-one thing, because it's not a one event fix all. It can't be a, hey, we're going to do this activity and all these kids are going to come back. And we did have a lot of kids come back in person, which is great, but there's a few kids who are just living off that same COVID permission of, I don't have to interact if I don't want to. And so they won't come. And even if their parents bring them or force them, they'll sit there and pretend like their camera's off in the corner of the room, and it doesn't work in person. And so for me, it goes back to, you know, kind of addressing the health of the community around us, right? It's a lot of one-on-one connections. It's me having a phone call or leaving a message or just a quick text message. How's it going? Hey, didn't see you in worship the last couple of weeks. You doing okay? And so trying to just, you know, one-on-one connections on stuff with people. I can send out emails, you know, mass emails all over the place to invite people, and that's only going to go so far. It really, kids aren't going to come and reconnect until they know, kind of that feeling that I had from my own youth director, that I know when I showed up, I know he cared about me. And that made me want to come so that he could, you know, he could pour into me. He was going to ask me how things were going, and I could tell him and celebrate some of those things that were going great. And so trying to be that person for the kids, and again, trying to multiply that with other adults for the kids, I think has been one of the biggest things in trying to rebuild that community after COVID.
Yeah. Thanks for that insight. Thinking about a lot of those, and some of those transitions were kind of unique too, I think, during COVID, when you think about probably what you had in youth ministry, whether it was confirmation, relational connections that happened over that. So we want to talk about just in general, maybe some of those difficult things that happen in youth ministry about those handoffs. You got to say goodbye to seniors. That's always tough. Like it's both a week of rejoicing at church when we get to celebrate the seniors, and at the same time, I'm going to miss seeing those faces and connecting with them. So it's always a tough week when we bless them and send them off. But then also that transition, maybe from eighth grade to high school, you got multiple maybe school districts you're working with, and how high schools work and schedules work. You're figuring that out. And then also maybe welcoming rising fifth graders or sixth graders, or however youth ministry might work with confirmation, and how that plays in. How do you help build community maybe around those transitions? Any insight into that?
Yeah. So we, as part of our tradition, after our eighth grade retreat, which was just this last weekend, our high schoolers actually invite the eighth grade confirmants to start coming to the Wednesday night high school weekly event. And so I invite them too, but I mean, it's me, you know, you got to you got a senior girl asking you to come and hang out, and you're an eighth grade boy. That's a different story. And so, yeah, we have created some of those, transitional things where it's not like, all right, well, they never showed up for this. Well, they never felt like they were allowed to come or invited to be a part of it. And so, utilizing the high schoolers to kind of bring in the middle schoolers into the eighth graders, especially as they transition towards high school, start doing that already in the eighth grade year when they're already tied into confirmation stuff, unapologetically using confirmation as a little bit of a hook there to try to connect them with those high schoolers already, so that by the time they're in high school and confirmation is over, they're still connecting with that group of people and they want to come with that because they've made those connections. While we do send our seniors and celebrate our seniors as they graduate into college, I don't cap our Wednesday night high school event, to just high schoolers. So I've always, I've always kept that as an open invitation to come back. Mm-hmm. And, in many ways that was because there were some kids who didn't have a college age thing to plug into and they were staying local. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of fell into that. But what has happened is, especially break time at college, whether Thanksgiving time or Christmas time or spring break, and you get some college kids coming back, I noticed that we will get some of the other high schoolers coming back too, because they either know that's happening or they've been invited personally. But what, you haven't been coming? What, come on, I'm home. Let's go.
Yeah.
And so those college age kids will continue to bring some of that energy into that high school group, which is really cool. And then also utilizing them again, hey, how's it going in school? Tell us what's going on. So it's helping the high schoolers kind of see what's next. How are they struggling through living out their faith in their college setting and that kind of a thing. And so that's worked really well over the years. Even though we kind of fell into it, it's been kind of great. Another really specific kind of piece and transition into the middle school too is our VBS program, really training the high schoolers and middle schoolers, because the middle schoolers get to be the leaders for the elementary school kids. And so giving those middle schoolers that leadership role of being in charge of those other kids, it just helps, the first, second, third grader to say, man, when I'm their age, I want to be one of the big kids too and hang out at this event or do that kind of a thing. And so, you're already working to build that community and that excitement for middle school when they're in first and second grade. And again, for high school when they're in sixth and seventh grade. And so that's kind of a cool piece to that. And so utilizing, leaders at different events like a retreat or like VBS or even just on a Wednesday night or for Sunday school, sometimes the kids think it's better when I'm not there on a Sunday morning, because then they'll have a college student fill in for Sunday school. And I think that's cool. Right. And so there's that kind of connection, I think, that kind of bridges the gaps and the transitions between some of those moving from one age to the other.
And we've all experienced, if you've done youth ministry for any length of time, both the positive and the negatives when you have a couple of kids, they're really that relational center to a group. And if they're there, yep, everybody is there. And when they're busy, suddenly no one's quite sure if they're going, right? So like you have, yep, I love that as you can pull on those relationship ties with your older kids or your middle schoolers from younger kids to be able to say like, well, we want you to be a part of this and we want you to keep reconnecting with that.
Yeah.
Kind of
like, it's not always perfect either. Like, I mean, it's awesome when you have those college age kids that are hanging around and inviting, but there's definitely been in the process some kids where I'm like, all right, I got to have a one-on-one conversation with this one because they're still coming and now they're dominating the conversation. They're dominating the physical games. They are forgetting that this isn't for them, right? And they're trying to relive their glory days of high school. And so it can be tricky too, but I find that it's a simple conversation to say, look, I love it that you're coming. Can you help me be a leader in this place? Can you help me a leader in this place? And you start to empower them that way. So again, those one-on-one conversations are gold. You can be in a group and talk to 30 people at a time, but sometimes a lot more can be done with that one-on-one.
Yeah. In kind of a similar vein, how do you handle it when you have specific people or even maybe a few people who you can tell are being kind of left out of that group, that core relational group that you're building in your youth ministry?
If I can, I would definitely try to include somebody else who might have a connection or a similarity to that person. So if I see somebody that's on the outs, they're not connecting, but I know that, you know, they're a swimmer on the swim team and so-and-so is a swimmer on their school swim team, I'm going to see if I can't make that connection happen. I think that happens better than me just going over there and building a relationship. However, I do that too, because I want to make sure that they know I care of who they are and what's going on. But if I can bridge a connection between somebody else that they haven't figured out yet, then I like to do that too. Same thing with adult leaders that are present. If I can connect another adult leader to a couple of kids who aren't connecting yet, sometimes that works really well. And so I can do that by physically, you know, hey, let me introduce you to so-and-so. They love swimming too. They're on the swim team. I don't know if you knew that. Or I can do that a little bit less deliberately by, you know, going to one of those games where it's like, hey, we're gonna group off. You and you are in a group, you are a group, and all of a sudden now they're forced to be in a group with somebody, and all the other groups are gonna be fine, but we're gonna do this activity and nobody knows it except me for these few kids who need to be a part of this new group, right? And so sometimes you just kind of switch gears and have a couple things like that in your back pocket to kind of do that. So you do, if you can, if you see it, or sometimes it's when another adult leader says, hey, so-and-so hasn't connected with anybody tonight. They're sitting over there by themselves. Like, thanks for pointing that out. Let's transition to this. So
I have to say, I think one of the things I hear most often is people, when they assume about youth ministry, they're like, well, it's just all fun and games. And I'm like, do you have any idea how much thought goes into some of those games? Right? Like, you do not just like, you're just like describing both the game and surreptitiously building, like, and bringing this person in and how am I connected? Right? Like, there's a lot of thought that goes into that. We're going to talk about that in the next episode. So I'm not going to get tied on there. But
we're talking to a master DCE here. Right? It makes it look so easy.
Okay.
Makes it look simple. We're just gonna pull that right about our right, but like it is one of those places where like there are all sorts of things, from the way you set up the room to the game that you play and how you pick people, that there's a lot of thought that can go behind those that can either help or hurt the community building process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, talking about like grouping people up and picking teams, I rarely leave it to, you know, we're not going to go to the schoolyard pick, because, you know, we all know what happens
right,
with that.
Right.
And, you know, so it's usually me randomly numbering people off, or usually me picking a group because I think it's going to work really well, or they need to build that, you know, community and they haven't yet. The only time I've ever, you know, sometimes have teams pick is an interesting way of doing it, is a reverse schoolyard pick where, let's say Juliana picks Mark's team and Mark picks Juliana's team. Because it kind of changes things up a little bit, and then you're like, do I pick somebody that's similar to the person they just gave me on my team, or I don't know, it's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Excellent. Well, you have talked a lot about the influence of adults that they can have in those relationship connections, maybe again connecting with others that are struggling to connect in the community, just giving again more eyes and ears on the situation with young people, getting them connected to the body of Christ. Anything just in summary again that you would add, where again adults can be real helpful in that, or maybe even harmful, or things that you always have to talk about when you're preparing your supportive adults to be a part of your youth ministry?
I think it's super helpful to remind the adults that it's not about them. I think most adults get that, but sometimes, especially if you're doing some games and activities that can get kind of competitive, sometimes they forget that they aren't still the same age as the people they're hanging out with. And so trying to remind them that this is about helping the youth, this is about helping them connect to faith in God and to each other, and you know, that's not specifically for them. That's helpful, especially young adults that are just running into that as a new thing for them as a leader. You know, but having adults around is super helpful. Do a little bit of training conversation with them, trying to set up some things in advance so they know what to expect, what's going to happen. often with youth kids, I like the mantra of participate, don't anticipate. In other words, don't worry about what's next, just be in the moment and do this. But I know with adult leaders, I try to give them a little bit more than that, because adults, we're used to being in charge of ourselves at least. And so, you know, for the adults to say, hey, here's what's coming up next. Here's how you can plug in. If you need to take this breather or break, do that, you know, that kind of a thing, just so that they're aware and can have that kind of peace of mind. So they're not, you know, just thrown into something that they might not feel comfortable with. So I think kind of giving them some things in advance, preparing them for what to expect, maybe even talking to them about some specific kids who might need a connection. Mm-hmm. It gives them a little bit of a direct connection to those kids, and also a purpose for being there besides just another adult in case an emergency happens, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's, you don't want them there for that reason alone. But so I think those are good. But yeah, I guess it can get kind of crazy if you've got somebody there who wants to monopolize the conversation. If you've got somebody that forgets that it's not about them, those things can happen. And so, yeah, conversations with people, if that takes place, it can always be a very important aspect of training and building up and encouraging adult leaders.
Yeah. I think those adult leaders also can be build really powerful relationships between each other, right? So I love when we hear about adults who don't just care about the young people in their congregation, but they kind of build their own little community of adults who also are excited to have an 8th grade confirmation retreat and who come back stoked about that, right? Those adult leaders who have that shared experience together with one another. What are some ways you can encourage adult leaders to care for one another as they're caring for young people?
So if we've got this retreat, right, like we've alluded to a couple of times, because it's really fresh in my brain. I did meet with the parents that were going in advance just to, you know, here's what's going to happen. Here's all the things that are going on. And then they started to connect with each other. And it was kind of cool this weekend because I did have so many other young adult leaders and high school leaders. I was also able to say to the parents, participate in as much as you want, but you also have permission to take time and just be refreshed as well, and to step out. And so what was kind of neat was I had a few parents that were there that they plugged in, they sang songs with us, they did prayer time with us, but then during some of our sessions and other planning things with confirmands, took time and they built relationships and connected with each other. They just had that permission to do that. It was kind of neat. For other specific events and trips, for say like the youth gathering, we go to the youth gathering every 3 years. We do some very deliberate planning ahead of time, connecting adults with each other, building that team with the adults. The team building with the adults, so that when we're on the trip, they know already how we function. We've even done some things, fun little personality tests, maybe not full on Myers-Briggs, but we're going to do some personality tests just to kind of see where people are, so that where we're working and relating with each other, we kind of have an idea of how we get along. And so that builds some great teamwork and community. I remember it was one of the Orlando youth gatherings. We even took time during the week a couple times just to check in with the adult leaders. And we had several adult leaders on that trip. And so we had our own devotional time set aside so that we can connect, so that we can check in. We can say, hey, be praying for so-and-so. Last night really hit them hard, whatever that is, those kind of things. And so that was really fun. And I also remember playing this really crazy game, and I can't remember exactly how it goes, but there was like 50 numbers on paper plates scattered around the floor, and we all gathered around the paper plates, and we had to count from like 1 to 50. This is like a no-brainer type of game, right? But this is the adults going at it, and the goal was to go like hit the plate, hit one, hit plate number two, hit two, three, four, right? But you have to do that in a way that you can work together, and the goal is to try to do it in under a minute. And we kept, it took us probably, we were doing that for like 25 minutes one night. I'm like, it's 2 a.m. We're already done with kids' devotions. It's supposed to be time for room checks. And they're like, no, Jeremy, we have got to get this under a minute. And so it was so fun. But like, I was waiting for security to come and knock on our door. And, you know, just because we were having a blast, we were just having fun with each other. And so there's those moments and memories and activities, but it doesn't even have to be on a youth gathering. You can do those kind of things on the regular. Our youth ministry leadership team has been talking about how can we incorporate more parents into the, not either the events or during the events, as a connect with the other parents type of thing. And that's been really cool that that's something that they're wanting to do. So it's not just like I'm dropping my kid off and coming back in an hour and a half or 2 hours. I'm dropping my kid off and I might have an opportunity to have some deliberate time with some other parents. Mm-hmm. And so how do we do that? Who leads that? How do we go about creating that kind of thing? Because those adults and then also some of the young adults that see that and the parents also can then be pouring into the kids. And it's also a good training ground too. If I'm playing games with my adult leaders, then they have a whole bunch of games on how to do that with the youth when they're leading a small group or whatever it is they might be doing.
Well, as we wrap up, what encouragement might you give to pastors or DCEs, commission ministers, or other adults who are just getting started, maybe a congregation or with youth ministry, and want to build positive Christ-centered relationships in their youth ministry?
I hate to say it because it almost sounds cliche, but it is a cliche, I guess. But I think it is very truthful in that the youth won't care about what you care about unless they know how much you care about them, right? And so I think the biggest thing that I could encourage somebody getting started is just to connect with the kids, learn about who they are, ask about how they're doing. And that can be real simple. You don't need them to give you a whole dissertation, but connect with somebody and find out what was something cool that happened in their week. And then the next time you see them, ask about that again. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, did you get to do that this week too? Or whatever. And when you have those follow-up conversations, they realize, oh, this person really does care about who I am. Mm-hmm. And I think those are really important situations. I had, we were doing a youth night in St. Louis and, it was a larger congregation. So we would have, 15 to 30, sometimes people coming out for our youth night. And, there was one girl that came in and dropped off something for another friend who was at a different school and was leaving right away. Wasn't staying. And, I didn't really think anything of this, but I just kind of followed her out the door into the parking lot and said, "Hey, you're not able to stick around." She's like, "No, I have this other thing." I was like, "Well, it's really cool to see you, even if it was for a minute. Always love seeing you when you can come." Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't any big deal on my part. It wasn't any long thing that I had to plan or prepare. But I got a phone call from her mom later that week saying, "You don't realize what it meant to her that you actually followed her outside and said that it was important that you saw her." Mm-hmm. And, she was a huge leader in our group. Beyond after that time, mm-hmm. She felt like it was an important place for her to be. And so some of those just real little connections of just encouragement and loving kids, can make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for joining us and for sharing your expertise. And, we're just grateful that you're able to do that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Always happy to have a conversation.
I really appreciate the conversation about relationships and community. If you've talked to us for any length of time, if you've listened to the podcast for any length of time, you know how important we believe relationships are. And so I really just appreciate kind of the back to basics and the kind of shared places that we can think about, practical pieces that Jeremy talked about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we saw when we did the millennial research, but see it in scripture, see it in other places too. It's just that gives that then tangible connections for young people or the people of God, to know that they're cared for and loved by the body of Christ, know Christ's love through word and deed. And to be able to make those connections to where, again, the church is a welcoming place for people of all ages to grow in their faith, to know God's love, and to build those healthy relations that help encourage them and support them in so many parts of their life.
I love the many ways that Jeremy talked about how we can create an experience in the time where that young person's in youth ministry, mm-hmm. both where we're spending time in God's word, we're praying together, we're doing those things, but we're also creating moments or experiences that help us to bring those groups of maybe disparate young people together and be intentional about using both adults and peers to help draw people mm-hmm. further into that group, mm-hmm. whether it's one-on-one or whether it's collaboratively in a game or whether it's just in the experiences that we're forming for them.
Absolutely. And as the young people are getting more and more independence, again, get to connect with peer groups, and then also continue to have that mentoring, and certainly that support of parents too, to have those experiences can be so vital in building those relationships and the connections to their congregation.
I know that I've heard a lot of youth leaders talk about in the last little bit, like how just maybe COVID and that impact of disconnect really kind of felt like they're starting from the scratch again. They're starting all over again. They're trying to rebuild some of those relational things. And so if you're feeling that way, I really say like that's pretty common, right? But I do love that take on thinking about like how do we help kids who are saying like, well, I don't have to interact. Well, I can be disconnected. I'm okay all by myself, to help compel them to say like, we care about you. You're wanted here. We're going to chase you after you out of the building, right? We're going to make sure that you know that we care about you as an individual because Jesus loves you, because we want to make sure that you are hearing the gospel as much as you can. And how do we help connect you into this?
Yeah, and I think we had this on an earlier podcast with someone who talked about too, like each class or groups of classes maybe can be different too. I mean, you're going to might have a group of young people who are more extroverted, more emotional, actually relationally connected. That's going to come more easy. And there's going to be other maybe groups you're going to have to work more at it. And at the same time too, to not say just because something didn't work with one group, as you have maybe a different group of high school students come in, that those same type of connections aren't going to work differently or play out differently. And so continue to keep at it. And again, like I think it's been, you know, as Jeremy said, so well, is to love those individual young people that come into your youth ministry and just listen well and connect with them well.
And I love how Jeremy and his congregation works to both give young people leadership roles, right? A space that they can grow into, a space where they can be responsible for both programming and for each other, but then also really builds into this into the DNA of that, like the servanthood attitude of like, this might not be for me. I might be here to be for someone else. I might be a high schooler who's here for the eighth grader to help get them into acclimated into high school ministry. I might be a college kid who's here not for me, for my benefit, but for the benefit of the high schooler who needs to be connected or reconnected back into that ministry. Mm-hmm. So a few questions for you to consider. How are you assessing the relationships in your youth ministry?
How can you intentionally build relationships How can you intentionally build peer-to-peer relationships amongst young people in your youth ministry and congregation?
And how are you building on both one-on-one conversations and other connection points to help youth know that they are wanted in your youth ministry? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you build those relationships that are able to help us to share the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ with one another.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find out more about LCMS Youth Ministry or to find links to resources mentioned, go to kfuo.org/youthministry. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.